Well, everybody, welcome to episode 221 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right. Well, my first guest tonight is we're going to talk some girls tennis, and she is the head coach of the fifth-ranked Ankeny Centennial squad, and she has guided the Jaguars to a 3-1 record thus far in the CIML Conference. She is Allie Gustafson. Allie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, you bet. We're having such good weather the last couple of weeks. You know, what is this crap that we're having now? I guess it's springtime in Iowa, huh?
I know. We've been lucky with the past couple of weeks, and now spring is back.
For sure. Well, your team is off to a great start. You opened the season on April 6th with an 11-0 win over Waukee, and that was a team that turned around a few days later and beat a ranked Ankeny squad 6-5. You know, did that meet kind of show you right away, you know, how good your team could be?
Yeah, definitely. I think we went into the meet confident, but I don't think any of us knew that we would come away with an 11-0 score on the board, which was amazing. I was super proud of the girls, how they showed up for that first meet. We were all super nervous, kind of had those jitters, but we came away with everyone getting two victories in singles and in doubles.
Well, your team then followed with a 6-5 win at Urbandale the next day, and you got that win without your number one player, Abby Peterson. So you really had a lot of other kids, you know, step up that day, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. We found out that day that Abby wasn't feeling well and she wasn't going to compete. And so going into the meet, everyone bumped up a spot in singles. We had one of our girls who does not normally play singles, and then everyone kind of had to reshuffle their doubles partners, and everyone just showed up and played the best they could, and we came away with a victory even without our number one.
Well, then last week your team had a couple of big meets. On Tuesday you dropped a 6-4 decision to defending state champion Dowling Catholic, and that meet certainly showed that you can play with one of the state's best teams. And then on Thursday, you posted an 8-3 victory over Valley, which was ranked third at the time. I know the Tigers were playing without their defending state singles champion, Claire Goo, but you know that was still an impressive win. You have to be really happy with where your team is at right now.
Yeah, for sure. Last week was a big week of tennis for us to play against Dowling and Valley in 1 week. After Dowling, I think we went into Dowling really confident and really excited to play. We had nothing to lose. And to walk away with a 4-6 loss, and with our other match not being able to finish, we could have walked away with possibly 5-6, was big for our girls, knowing that, honestly, on any given day, it could have shifted in our way with some super tiebreakers and stuff like that. And so then going into Valley, we were super confident and just excited to play them too. And then to come away with such a disparity of a victory was really exciting for us all.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's talk about some of the girls on the team. I mentioned Abby earlier, and she has rejoined the team this year after sitting out last season. Of course, she placed fourth in the Class 2A singles tournament as a freshman in 2021 under former coach Armando Espinosa. So you didn't get to coach Abby last year. I imagine you were really happy when you found out that she'd be returning to the team this year, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. She was not out for the team last year, so I hadn't gotten a chance to coach her. But when we found out that she was coming out this year, I was super excited to just have her join the team and then just make our team that much better.
We've been able to plug her back into that number one spot, and that pushed all of your other players down a spot in the lineup. You know, but that just makes your whole lineup that much stronger, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. When we brought Abby in and she was at number one, that means that everyone else on our ladder bumped down another spot. And so all the girls who had played last year, who had been playing up a spot, now they were bumped down so they could hopefully have that much more success at a lower spot with Abby playing at number one.
Well, Abby is off to a 3-0 start, and she has lost a total of just 5 games in those 3 matches. Your number two player, Esther Guan, who played number one last year, has a 4-0 record, and those two have also combined for a 3-0 mark in doubles. Now, Esther qualified for state last year in singles after placing sixth in doubles while playing with her sister Claudia as a sophomore. And I don't know if it's too early to look ahead to the postseason, but have you thought much about you know, where those two girls will go for regionals? Do you think they would maybe both go in singles?
Yeah, so it's still pretty early in the season to really tell. The good thing about it is that Esther and Abby both have so much potential in both singles and doubles that whichever way we decide for them to go, and I think they will both find success, hopefully.
Sure. Well, the rest of your singles lineup this season has consisted of Jenna Benkowski, Samara Peterson, Era Lofgren, and Megan Yuan. Now, Jenna and Era are both the holdovers from last year's lineup, but Samara and Megan have been strong additions to the top six. You know, those two suffered their only singles losses against Dowling. You know, so they played really well, haven't they?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was amazing bringing in three new girls to a when we only graduated one senior last year, to bring in three more to our top six was incredible, especially when they have as much talent as they do. It makes our team very strong.
Well, your team certainly has a lot of depth as well because your doubles lineup has contributed heavily. I know in the win over Urbandale, your number five doubles team of Gabby Mixdorf and Macy Rasmus came through with a big victory to help seal the win, didn't they?
Yeah, for sure. It's really fun to have such a deep team. Even when I played for Centennial, I don't think we've ever had this deep of a team. And so just to have girls who are ready to compete from number one all the way to my number 10 has been really exciting for not only each individual girl, but the team as a whole.
Let's take a look at your upcoming schedule. It says that you're going to host Waukee on Thursday. You know, is that right? Because you already played them once, didn't you?
Yes, we are playing them again this Thursday. Going into the season, we didn't have... we just had our conference meets scheduled, so we were looking for other meets to play, and Waukee was doing the same. And so to give us another team match, we decided to play them again.
So now which one is considered the conference meet, or does that matter? I don't know.
I think this one would be considered the conference meet, but honestly, I don't really know how that works.
Okay. Well, I'll try to figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, and then the schedule says that you're going to host Notre Dame on Monday. Now, is that Burlington Notre Dame?
Yes, it is. That's kind of the same reason. We just had our conference meet scheduled, and we were looking for some more opponents to play to give us a few more meets, get us some more experience, and they were looking for an opponent, and so we put them on our schedule.
And they're willing to come over here, huh?
Yes, right?
Well, then after playing at Johnston next Tuesday, your team will meet number 9 Ankeny on Thursday. Of course, last year the Hawkettes defeated your team 10-1, and that was their first win ever over the Jaguars. So I imagine your girls will be pretty motivated for that meet, won't they?
Yes, most definitely. We're all just very excited to play them for the pink out and everything, and my girls are very excited to hopefully get them back. We'll see.
Well, with the addition of Abby to the team and the other newcomers, I mean, do you feel like you match up with them a little bit better?
Yes, I think it should be a little more equal, or so I hope.
Sure. Well, when you look ahead to the rest of the season, I know one of your goals is to try to get multiple girls to the state tournament. We already talked about Abby and Esther a little bit and where they might go. But do you feel like, you know, some of the other girls could also make it, you know, depending on where you go for the regional and the matchups?
Yeah, definitely. Our team is so deep that any of our top six girls, I think, stand a pretty good chance of making it to state in singles or in doubles. And so it'll all just depend on how the district regional matchups line up and who's in our regionals and how we decide to split the girls into singles and doubles. But yeah, I have a lot of confidence in these girls that any of them can make it.
Well, I'm sure you feel like your team could be a factor in the team competition as well. Last year, you guys reached the regional final before losing to Johnston. But with the addition of Abby, do you think this team, you know, could be a contender for a top four finish?
Definitely. I hope so. I think it's been really eye-opening watching competing against Dowling and Valley and seeing that we really can hang with who we view as some of the top teams in the state. And so I think that's really exciting for us all to hopefully be contenders in this team state competition.
Well, when you look at the rankings, Dowling has dropped from number 1 to number 3 after losing to Waterloo Columbus 7-2 last week. So that leaves three of the top four teams in the rankings from Eastern Iowa. You have number 1 Cedar Rapids Washington, number 2 Iowa City West, and number 4 Pleasant Valley. You obviously don't see those teams, you know, very often, if
right.
at all. So do you know much about them?
So not a ton. It's hard when none of them really play any of us. We will come across Cedar Falls at the end of the season at an invitational that we're going to. So that'll be a little telling, but it won't be in that dual meet format that kind of gives us insight into really matchups. But also Valley played PV today, and so I'll be really anxious to see how that went.
Well, do you feel like Dowling will be the team to beat, you know, until somebody knocks them off, or do you think it's kind of wide open this year?
Yeah, so I would have definitely said yes going into the season, but now after we hung with them and after seeing them, their scores against other teams, I'm not sure. I think it's pretty wide open.
Well, it's exciting for you guys and everybody else.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're very excited.
Well, Allie, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Caldwell Banker, and he's back on the podcast for another regular visit. He was last here on January 4th, so it's been a little more than 3 months ago. He's Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
It's always good to be here. Doing well.
Hey, you bet. Well, we can talk a little bit of sports first. I know you're a Cubs fan. They're off to a pretty decent start, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's that time of year. All Cubs fans are optimistic. they're still over 500, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Did you think that they might be competitive this year?
I don't know. You know, every time I think that they are, I get disappointed when I'm not expecting them to do something, they do well. So let's just see how it plays out.
Yeah. Well, I can feel your pain. I'm a Twins fan, so they're off to a good start as well. So I'm optimistic. Their pitching looks great, so we hope it continues. But Who knows? It's a long season.
Yes, it is.
So, well, let's talk a little bit of real estate. You know, what's new in your world?
Well, it's an interesting market. I know a lot of people are kind of anxious about what's going on with interest rates and all of that. And I think maybe we're a little bit settled into the fact that the days of the 2 and 3% interest rates are behind us. Right now, we're hovering around the 6% mark. It seems like there may be a little near-term pressure on that they may go up a little bit. But overall, I think we're kind of where we are, barring some kind of major event. My hope, and I am no expert in interest rates, but my hope is that next year's an election season, so everybody that wants to get elected has a vested stake in those interest rates coming down and the housing market heating up. So there's hope for that. But for somebody who needs to do something today, I would say whether it's buy or sell, there's still mortgage opportunities. I would say the first thing to do is get with a mortgage professional. And if you don't have one, maybe interview a couple and talk to them about the products that they have. Because banks are doing some things to help people qualify and get into a home. So don't just think that because the interest rates are high, I'm not going to qualify. Take the time to interview a couple of lenders and find out what products they have that might work for you, and then you can go from there and go find a place. Prices, home prices are kind of steady right now. Inventories are down. We had seen the inventory starting to come back up. And then with the interest rate spike, a lot of people just decided to hold off. So the inventories are down. It really is a good time if you have a house to sell, to put it out there. Our business is really good in the resale market. Right now, about 80% of the homes that are for sale out there are new construction in Ankeny. So if you've got a home to sell and somebody doesn't want new construction, they don't have very many choices. So it really is a good time. Plus, this time of year is a selling season anyway, so I wouldn't hold off.
Well, a question in that regard, I know a lot of people were unhappy with their property tax assessments. Have you found that the people can sell their house for what it's been assessed at?
Oh, man, if I could, I would, right? What an interesting thing that is. You know, the law was passed so that your actual tax that you pay can't be increased by more than 3% than the previous year. So even though your assessment goes way up, I'm still going to contest mine because I want to get that value closer to market value so that it isn't a guaranteed 3% property tax increase every year. So I do think that it is worth your time to look at your assessment and contest those. You have until the end of April to do that, and you can go ahead and do that online on the Polk County Assessor's website.
Do you know anybody's assessment that went down? Everybody I talked to, they've gone way up.
I have not spoken to anybody who went down. It's just how much did it go up?
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you about the interest rates, too, because you mentioned with the election season next year. Historically, is that something that happens where maybe it goes down in the election season?
Yeah, I don't have any data in front of me right now. But, yeah, I mean, you know, politicians, they all need things to be going well, either to get reelected or you know, if they are trying to get elected, they have a plan on how to do that. Housing market is really central to everybody. Everybody feels housing, whether it's in rental or in purchasing. And all politicians want optimism when it comes to an election. And so they want to get that market going. If they can't get the interest rates down, then they'll work with the banks to try to figure out products that maybe the government can help with or whatever. So there is a lot of incentive for the government to help that housing market in an election season.
Well, and you mentioned that the interest rates are high now, but I think they've even been higher at times, right? I mean, what was like the high water mark here, you know, this year?
Yeah, they're not high historically. You know, you talk to older people that bought their first home in the 80s, and they say, my first rate was 18%.
Oh, wow.
Which that was a high mark. But really, 6-7% is fairly normal. I know when I bought my first home in 1993, it was 7.25%, and I was bragging to everybody about what a good rate I got back then. I think in the last few months, I think our high was in the high sixes. I'd not heard it going over mm-hmm. 7. But then it came back down low sixes, and then it dipped below 6 a little bit. Right now it's hovering right about that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you have some properties you want to talk about. What's keeping you busy these days?
Really, the resale market. We've had a lot of really good resale opportunities. I've got buyers that are trying to find some. I've had a number of past clients that are calling me up and saying, hey, we're thinking about selling our house, doing some market analysis and all that. The problem is, for me, is that they sell too quickly. Yeah. And so I don't get to meet too many people that are looking to buy a home. But yeah, the resale market's where it's at. So I would just encourage somebody, if they're thinking about selling their house, not wait. Get out there and do it. On the other side, somebody who's wanting to build a new home, this is another thing. I mean, COVID was kind of like a tsunami that washed through the building market. Everything has changed. And so the one thing that I would encourage somebody who's thinking about building a home is get with an agent, a real estate agent, that does this and knows construction and knows the process to walk with you through it more now than ever before. Someone who knows the questions to ask, to know the processes to go through, the documentation to do. Everybody has a friend or a relative that's a realtor, but when you're spending $600,000-$800,000 to build a home, you need somebody who knows the process and knows how to walk you through that. There are mistakes that can be made that can be really devastating. And so it's really important to get with somebody who has expertise.
We certainly have that expertise. So if somebody is looking for somebody like you to help them out, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I've got a very simple email. It's just tom@tombutler.com. And that's probably the best and quickest way to get a hold of me.
All right, Tom. Well, hey, thanks again for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Yep, it's always fun. Thanks.
All right, well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the 9th-ranked Ankeny girls tennis team. His squad is off to an 0-2 start in the CIML Conference, but we'll explain here in a minute how one of those losses could really be considered a win. His team is also coming off a first-place finish at the Boone Invitational on Friday. He is Steve Smith. Steve, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, just since I talked to Allie, we'll talk about some of these teams later on, but they have updated the rankings, and Centennial is now up to 3 in the rankings. Ankeny is still 9th. And some of the other teams that Allie talked about were Dowling and Valley. She mentioned that those teams were playing Pleasant Valley today, and Valley did beat Pleasant Valley 7-2, and Dowling beat them 9-0. So that shows you the strength of the CIML. And we'll get into that here in a minute, Steve. But today was a little bit windy. Did you guys were you able to get a good practice in?
Yeah, actually, it was one of our better practices. We had a lot of intensity, a lot of motivation. As you said, we were hoping to have a different week. We've got a big slate ahead coming up with Dowling on Thursday and Centennial next week, and we've got 2 other matches in that time period, but those are pretty heavy hitters we're going to be facing off against.
Well, we'll talk about your schedule here in a little bit, but, you know, the weather's been so nice the last couple of weeks, but then, man, these last couple of days and then today with the wind, I mean, this is spring, though, isn't it?
This is, you know what, what I've been telling people is, sure, people are complaining about the wind. Right? We've had the 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts. We had those last year, but it's 80 degrees instead of 30 degrees this
right.
year. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been great the last couple of weeks. Well, like I mentioned, your team is off to an 0-2 start. You guys dropped a 6-5 decision to Waukee in your season opener last Monday. And I know you told me after that meet that you felt like your team just got out-competed. But I'm sure you felt like it was kind of a learning experience, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, we had some people that have been a little bit banged up, and so we had to give some opportunities to some people that haven't been in those positions before. You know, there's always you're going to have some first meet jitters. We had several people playing their first singles matches. I had some couple people that were playing their first doubles varsity matches, and we were right there, but we lost 7 out of seven tiebreakers. It's pretty hard to win a dual meet when you lose seven tiebreakers. And we lost 6-5 overall in the meet. So, yeah.
I'm sure you feel like if you played them again, then maybe you could reverse a couple of those and probably come out on top, huh?
We sure hope so, and we hope we play them again.
Well, then on Tuesday, your team suffered another 6-5 loss at Johnston, which was ranked 8th at the time. But I know you told me after that meet that your team actually would have won the meet under the postseason format of 6 singles and 3 doubles matches because you did lose the 4 and 5 doubles matches, and that proved to be the difference, didn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, last year we lost 110 to Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably our low level for the season, and it was very frustrating. So we came in, and we were a lot more focused. We played well. We still had a couple matches that didn't end up going our way that we could have had, but we competed much better, and that's what made me happy. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was kind of funny because I told my girls that, you know, like under the, you know, postseason rules, we actually won 5-4. And then when we got the, I actually do some of the voting on the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sent out the rankings, they actually put a list of all the relevant matches, and they had us down as winning 5-4. And so I sent that to the girls and said, hey, I'm not the only one that saw it that way.
Your team then rebounded on Friday with a dominant performance at the Boone Tournament, winning the title for the second straight year. You guys racked up 157 points to finish 31 points ahead of Indianola. And it was just a solid team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, we always try to get some people some more singles experience at those 2 and 3 spots, and we got that experience. But other than that, we really did perform pretty well.
Well, how were the conditions up there that day? I know it was pretty windy here.
Yeah, it was super windy. I don't know that we've had a meet where it's not been windy. And to be candid, looking at the forecast, I'm not sure we'll have any meet that's not windy soon.
Well, your daughter, Kira, defended her number one singles title and dropped a total of just 3 games and 4 matches. She is off to a 6-0 start and is now 26-3 in her career after placing 4th in the Class 2A singles tournament last year as a freshman. You know, she's just kind of picked up where she left off last year, hasn't she?
You know, to be honest, she's one of the ones that's a little bit banged up. And so she's been struggling with a lot of pain, and so just being able to go out and compete each day and finish the matches is kind of mainly her goal. You know, obviously as the season progresses, there's going to be some big matches for her, and hopefully she'll be able to compete at her peak at that point in time too.
Well, your number 2 doubles team of Lauren Osborne and Peyton Bluma also placed 1st, and so did the number 3 doubles team of Sophie Rolfing and Gabby Risk. You also got a 2nd place finish from the number 1 doubles team of Sydney Otto and Sophie Schmitz. So you had to be really happy with your team's performance in doubles up there.
Yeah, you know, to be candid, we also did really, really well in doubles against Johnston, right? So our 2 and 3 doubles really played well. And so I wasn't super surprised that we played well, and we carried that over into the Boone invite, and I'm kind of looking forward to there's still a few things that I'm trying to figure out as far as pairings, but there's about 2 or 3 good ones that I've seen, and I'm starting to really like the synergies we're getting.
Well, this year's team has a good group of seniors that also includes Madeline Kolb, who has been a regular part of your singles lineup. She had a nice 3-set win in that match at Johnston, and then she teamed up with Schmitz for another victory at number 3 doubles, so she had a really good night over there, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I frankly told her she won us that meet, you know, because that singles match was, you know, not going in her favor for a little while, right? And she had to really fight those inner demons that we all have when we have that self-doubt, and she did that. And that was a big, big step forward for her. And then, like you said, her and Sophie just played lights out. One of the players they played against was actually their 2nd highest returning player.
Hmm.
And she's been a little bit banged up herself, but she's a really good player, and they just dominated, right? I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Well, let's talk about your upcoming schedule. You touched on it there a little bit. Your team will play at Southeast Polk on Tuesday, and that seems like a meet where you could get your first, you know, official conference win. And then you'll go to Dowling on Thursday to face the defending state champions, who were ranked number 1 a week ago. But I think in those latest rankings now, they're 2nd. They did lose to Waterloo Columbus a week ago, but of course they showed today that you know, they beat Pleasant Valley. And I know they lost Allison Zalate to graduation from last year's team, but they're still awfully good, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you talk about Dowling, you know, you mentioned that Columbus match. But nobody's talking about the fact that Ava Peterson, their number 1, didn't play in that match, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you see whenever somebody's number one isn't there, it's a huge impact to the rest of the lineup, right? So they
sure.
they lost her, and, you know, I don't know that the complete difference would have happened if she would have played, but my instincts tell me it would have been.
Sure.
Right? And so Ava is top-notch, one of the best players. You know, she's obviously ranked in that individuals ranking as, you know, one of the top six players or so, and they're solid, and you got two sophomores that have made some really, really big jumps for them, and Grace Fry and Juju Morrow. They're elite. Everybody keeps saying, why are they ranked so high? They lost so many good players from last year, but they just reloaded at the end of the day.
And then next week, your team will host Waukee Northwest on Tuesday before facing Centennial on Thursday. Now, your squad defeated Centennial 10-1 a year ago to beat the Jaguars for the first time ever. But they've obviously gotten better this year with the return of Abby Peterson after a one-year absence and the addition of her freshman sister, Samara. So how do you feel like you guys match up with Centennial? Do you think it's going to be, you know, a lot closer this year?
Oh, it'll be – we'll have to play our A game to beat them this year. That is for sure. I think they're – you know, to be transparent, I put them as number three, right? Mm-hmm. I put Cedar Rapids, Washington one, I put Dowling two, and I put Centennial three, and I think that's absolutely the order they're at. So we'll have to go in there playing like we're the underdog, because frankly we are. So hopefully we'll be motivated. Hopefully we'll play our, you know, one of our best meets of the season, because that's what it's going to take to be able to beat them this year.
Well, there must have been a lot of coaches that agreed with you, because that was the top three that I think the way they came out. So, well, I know Kira and Abby have worked out together before, but this looks like it'll be the first official matchup of their high school careers, and it would match the fourth place finishers from the last two state tournaments. And even though those two haven't played a match against each other yet, you know, they know each other pretty well, don't they?
They do. You know, I think it was before Abby's freshman year, and so before Kira was even playing high school, we actually went down to Florida, and Kira and Abby played together with mm-hmm. One of the coaches out there, David Bailey, who's an elite coach out there. And so, yeah, they know each other very well. But they really haven't played against each other much. I mean, like, not just in high school, like even in USTA tournaments. I think the last time they played was a yellow ball tournament when Abby was, I think, 12 and Kira was 11. So it's been a long time since they've played anything of meaning against each other, but, you know, it's not going to be for lack of familiarity, just hitting with each other for many years.
We said Kira's been banged up a little bit, you know, if she is healthy and ready to go. I mean, how do you see that matchup?
Very different styles, right? So, you know, Abby's just got, you know, raw power, great athlete, very intelligent tennis player, and she'll try to push Kira you know, through the court, right? And, you know, Kira's more of an all-court style where, you know, she's got to be able to use different spins, different angles, and just use the entire court to be able to beat somebody as good as Abby.
Well, when you look ahead to the rest of the season, I know one of your goals is to try to get multiple girls to the state tournament, and I assume that Kira will probably go to the singles route again, but have you thought yet much about, you know, what your regional lineup will look like, or is it just too early to tell for that?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what it's going to be. You just hope you're not in one of those, you know, brackets with Valley or Dowling or Centennial, because those are the ones that just that makes it tough to get anybody in there, right?
One, do you think your squad could be a factor in the team competition as well, or does that kind of depend on which region you get placed in too?
Yes and yes. I mean, at the end of the day, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is the most talented team we've had. You know, when we're playing at our best, we can compete with anybody. We struggle with being able to compete at our best every time. So what we push in every single day in practice is, how do you compete at your best? How do you make those decisions when it's windy, right? When it's cold, when there's pressure, seeing pressure as a privilege as opposed to, you know, something to shy away from. You know, I want our girls to go out there, and when they have those big opportunities, I want them to go after it. I want them to seize the day. I want them to say, I'm playing to win, not playing not to lose.
Well, when we talk about the teams across the state, you know, we mentioned those rankings earlier. Of course, Cedar Rapids, Washington is number one. You said you put them at number one. You know, that's a team that you don't see very often, if at all. So what do you know about them, and what makes them so good? Are they just that deep?
Yeah, so they have that kind of nice combination, like, you know, Dowling does too, right? Where they have a one and two that are off the charts good. You know, I mean, you look at Claire Gu, you look at Abby, you look at Caitlin Cook. You know, and those three seem to be separating themselves right now as really, really the best players in the state. You know, there's several other players that can, you know, make their claim to that, you know. But those are the ones that seem to be separating themselves. Then you have Catherine Zylstra, who's their number two player, who used to play one for them until this year. And, you know, she's top-notch, too. She's probably the highest UTR-ranked number two in the state, right? So you got the highest UTR, the second highest UTR number one, the highest second number two UTR, and then you've got about three or four other young ladies on their teams that have both experience and have won key matches, like in you know, team postseason last year. So like I think Chloe Palmer and a couple of those players that they're not just newbies, right? They're people that have been there before, so they're a really, really solid team. Now, you know, I think Dowling's right up there. You know, with Ava and Juju and Grace, and they just go. I mean, goodness gracious, they go to about 10 mm-hmm. That are all tournament players. So it's tough to, you know, to compete with them at least in a conference mm-hmm. meet style. You know, but wow, I mean, there's a lot of talent in the state this year.
Well, it should be a fun state tournament for all the teams, including your team as well. I'm sure you'll have somebody there. So it should be a fun season. Thanks a lot for coming tonight, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had the girls' tennis coaches, Allie Gustafson from Ankeny Centennial and Steve Smith from Ankeny, along with realtor Tom Butler from Coldwell Banker. Appreciate the time from all of those folks and for making it work here tonight on a Monday night, which is not our normal schedule for when we record the podcast. So come back next week for another edition of the podcast. We usually record on Wednesday nights, and I am tentatively planning on going to the Twins-Yankees game next week, so I'm not sure if we'll have it on Wednesday night or not. We might have to move it to a different night again. But anyway, come back next week for the next edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.